Today we begin a 5-week preaching series called Compass, guided by our past facing toward our future. This series is based on the vision for Old South Union Church. This vision statement was affirmed at our annual meeting this past February. It puts forth 4 pillars or core values that help to summarize the identity of our church. These 4 values work off of the first 4 letters of the 4 words that make up the name of our church, Old South Union Church, OSUC. So the vision statement reminds us that at Old South Union Church, we are open and welcoming. We are shaped by the teachings of Jesus. We are united in God's love, and we are committed to service. Over the next few weeks, we are going to look at each of these values, taking them one at a time. We're going to see the ways in which each value has long been a part of our church's identity, and how all together, these values can help to guide us as we look toward our church's future. The challenge for us is that we live in an in-between time. We are certainly guided by our past, but we don't live in the past anymore. And we're looking toward our future, but we don't live there yet either. We need wisdom and inspiration for this in-between time. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet who spoke to the people of Israel during their own in-between time. The Babylonians had captured Jerusalem in 597 BC and had sent the Israelite king and other political and religious leaders into exile in Babylon. God had promised one day to return the exiles to their holy land and to their sacred city, but there was great debate about when that deliverance would happen. Some people believed it would only be a short time before the power of the Babylonians was broken. But others, like Jeremiah, believed that Babylon would remain in power for much longer, maybe even as long as 3 generations. The exiles would indeed return to their homeland one day. But first, they needed wisdom and inspiration for the in-between time. Now, what exactly did Jeremiah have to say to them? Well, he encouraged them to stop expecting an early return to the land of Judah. He encouraged them instead to put down roots where they were, in Babylon. He instructed them to build houses and plant gardens and have families. He advised them to pray for and to seek the welfare of the city in which they found themselves exiled. Jeremiah's message was not exactly what the exiles most wanted to hear. But they needed his wisdom and his guidance for that in-between time. So let's see exactly what Jeremiah had to say as we listen now for the word of God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from the place which I sent you into exile. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It goes without saying, but I will say it anyway. Change can be hard. I'm part of a few Facebook groups that are specifically for clergy, and in one of those groups recently, a colleague posted this question. What is one change you could make in your congregation that would incite fury and discord within the church? Now, some of the answers to that question were predictable. Changing the time for worship, although we weather that pretty well in the summer. Changing the seating in the sanctuary from pews to chairs. Changing anything about the Christmas Eve service. Messing with either the music director or the church administrator, so Joe and Jen Colsey are totally safe. Some of the answers were ridiculous and could only come from people's lived experience because you cannot make these things up, right? One pastor responded that people were in an uproar when someone proposed a new color for the wall outside the pastor's office. Or there was the church that just couldn't take it when the trustees decided to have a new guy fertilize the church's lawn. Or there were the people who left a church when that congregation allowed a nonprofit organization, an organization completely separate from the church. That nonprofit fed people, and they took their own silverware with them so they could continue to feed people in a new place, and some people left the church because they did not leave their silverware behind. Of course, there were the answers that are just so very church, right? Some pastors responded that their churches would riot if they ever tried to add a passing of the peace to their worship services. And then equally, there were the pastors who said their churches wouldn't stand for it if they tried to remove the passing of the peace from their worship services. And then there was this one. One church with two Sunday morning services decided to move one of those services from the sanctuary to the chapel. And there were some people who were threatening to leave the church over that decision. Now, mind you, Those were the people who were still attending the service that was happening in the sanctuary, not the chapel. Change is never easy, but then again, it never has been. One of my favorite stories is about the great Puritan preacher Lyman Beecher. He was the minister of the Congregational Church in Litchfield, Connecticut in the early 1800s. And during that time, a great debate arose in the congregation about whether they should install a wood stove in the meeting house where they met for worship. Before then, they never had heat in the building, so if it was cold, people just bundled up and made it through the service in the sanctuary. They toughed it out. But there were some folks who thought that having a stove in the sanctuary might actually be an improvement, but others were dead set against it. They did not want that newfangled technology messing with their sacred worship space. But eventually, the pro-stove contingent won out. The first Sunday after the stove was installed, some of those who opposed it complained that the meeting house was too hot. The men started taking off their jackets and loosening their collars, and the women were furiously fanning themselves. And Lyman Beecher stood up in the pulpit and he said, "You will notice that this is the first Sunday with our new stove. Next week, we'll finally put some wood in it and fire it up." Change is not always easy, and it never has been. We have that truth on the one hand. And on the other hand, we know that change is inevitable. The world is changing, our nation is changing, our community is changing, and our church is changing too. Now, I am curious about something. I am curious if we might figure out who our longest tenured member of the church is today, who's here today. So, if you are a member of Old South, a member of this church, would you stand? Anyone who is a member of this church, please stand. All right. If you have been a member for 5 years or less, sit down. All right, how about 10 years or less? Now sit down. 20 years or less, you can sit down. 30 years or less. 40 years or less. Okay, okay. The competition begins. All right, 45 years or less. All right, 50 years or less, 55 years, 60 years. All right, we got 65 years. Oh, okay. Do we just have Janet? Oh, and okay, and Natalie. So what did we get to, 65? And Phyllis, all right. You need a little step to get a little higher for us. All right, so we got up to 65, 70 years. 75 years. I feel like I'm at an auction. Oh, so Janet's still standing. Over 75 years? All right. Over 75 years. Janet has been her whole life. How awesome is that? That is so cool. And there are many of you, you have seen this church go through many, many changes. You've seen various pastors and church leaders and congregation members navigate the ups and downs that are an inevitable part of church life. The changes this church has navigated over the course of our almost 300-year history, those changes have not always been easy. But change is inevitable. So here we are again, talking about change again. Now, the changing landscape of church life in America, that is what led the vision team to begin their work over 5 years ago. That, along with the major change our church had just gone through, when we said goodbye to Reverend Terry Martinson and blessed him into retirement after 41 years of ministry here at Old South. The vision team began their work by putting together surveys and holding listening sessions, and then they analyzed everything they read and heard. They put together more surveys and held more listening sessions and did more analysis. They talked and prayed. They took a break for a while, and finally they came back together last fall to put the finishing touches on what became this document, the vision for Old South Union Church. And that vision was indeed affirmed at annual meeting in February. Now, this document highlights the core values that have long defined who we are as a church. And here is the best part about these values. They come from the feedback that all of you offered to the members of the vision team in so many different ways over the course of the 5 years of work that they did. Over and over again, you all named the values that define Old South Union Church, that we are open and welcoming, that we are shaped by the teachings of Jesus, that we are united in God's love, and we are committed to service. These are the values that have held steady over the years, even as our church has navigated through times of change. These are the values that have kept us grounded in times of uncertainty. These are the values that will continue to shape our church's story as we look toward our church's future. Now, in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we read of a great promise that God offered to the Israelites, even in the midst of a time of great uncertainty for them. When Jeremiah spoke, the Israelites were living in exile. Their nation had been destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, and their people were scattered in a foreign land. All that they had known, all that was familiar to them, was gone. They were in the midst of a transition from what used to be to what is yet to come. And in that in-between time, Jeremiah spoke these words. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm. To give you a future with hope. Now, even in times of stability and certainty, our task as a church is to trust that God has plans for us and to discern together what those plans might be. But this trust in God, this commitment to discernment, is even more important in times of change. And as we look to the next chapter of our church's journey and the story that will be written there, I pray that we will continue to trust in God's promises. Promises for our welfare and for a future that is filled with hope. Like the ancient Israelites, we as a church, we as people, are always in the midst of transition from from what used to be to what is yet to come. We live in between times as a community and as individuals. We are always getting ready to write the next chapter of our story. And as we do that together as a church, as we discern together the tale that will be told about this time in our church's history, I pray that we will continue to be a congregation that is open and welcoming, a congregation that is shaped by the teachings of Jesus, a congregation that is united in God's love and committed to service. By the power of God, by the grace of Jesus Christ, and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, may it be so. Amen.